Today, we were going to continue this discussion of where are these guys going with the nation state concept, since it has been a repeated theme in these articles that come from the Yale Center for the Study of Globalization. So I think it's worth our while to begin asking ourselves, not just where are they going, but why are we always waiting for what is going to be delivered to us? And just as I was hearing from Dewey when I sat down in this chair, the reason is we don't feel able to run things ourselves yet, I think is a big part of the dilemma. And that's not by accident. That's propaganda that is systematically delivered. It's a systematic attempt at keeping us small, keeping us fearful and without confidence in our own abilities to run our own lives. So today, May 12th, 2013, when you read these missives from Plato's tribe in their present iteration, they're all quite dismissive of the nation-state system. And according to Henry Kissinger, whose book on China we've been discussing in recent shows, this train of thought bloomed in the minds of his tribesmen with the fall of the Soviet Union. But how do they know what position to take, whether on so-called communist China, or violent dictatorships, or nation state? What is the gauge that tells them for what to advocate? And Bentham explained, the goal. Strategies are illumined by the goal. And power achieving its goal requires our passivity, our agreeing to be their functionaries, to have no goal at all but to serve, to be soil for power, to plant in. And they learned, for our passivity to be secured, our quiescence, our going along with their plan, we had to be tied in a web of obligation. The very notion of statescraft, as with governance, is rooted in class, and to be most efficient must assume our obedience. For how else, says Kissinger, can statescraft proceed and deliver the future Plato's tribe says we need? So their goal, the future they are ever shaping, the view which molds their strategies, the perfect society in which each knows their place, so there's never any conflict, never any change. And when we're told in soundbite fragments with no mention of hidden actors, when we're told of piracy in Somalia, civil war in Syria, drug wars in Central America, stability does sound attractive. Quote, the people will choose totalitarianism over chaos as power's constant self-refrain. We can be made to accept no change, is what they think. But this aim runs contrary to life, to love itself, which requires constant growth everywhere and all at once. Speaking to those of us who believe not only that love can achieve a practical expression in the world, but that it can become the defining premise for a transformed global society that nourishes the conditions in which love can live. Speaking to these brothers and sisters, how do we know what are good strategies for us? Are there universal strategic principles that apply no matter which side you're on, whether you stand with the would-be masters or whether you stand with life? For freedom, expressed without coercion.